Thank you, Mr. Westcuttle. That was him in person. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity, the freedom, and the pleasure to assemble ourselves for the study of the Word of God. It is still very important to us. Without it, Heavenly Father, we would be lost. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand in your precious Word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start something this morning, maybe finish it this morning, that I've neglected for some time. So let's start with opening your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. Now, I know this isn't the 10:30 class, but I just want to start at this point. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, kind of introduce what we're going to be doing this morning, and maybe next Sunday morning, but at least this morning. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God. Now, here's the phrase we want to look at. Your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions. Now, we're going to look at suffering. We have studied the suffering of Jesus Christ on Wednesday night and is getting close to his burial. In 2 Thessalonians, we're studying suffering. In 1 Corinthians, we're studying the suffering of Israel, how they were led to bitter water. There is so much confusion about suffering among Christians. Some Christians say all suffering is due to sin. Obviously, this isn't sin here. Obviously, they're not suffering persecution and afflictions because of their sin. Because of sin of those that are persecuting them, but not their own. We have a lot we need to really learn and understand about suffering. Some suffering is from God. Some suffering is from Satan. Some suffering is from the world. Some suffering is from our own flesh nature. Just we do it ourselves, make bad decisions ourselves. So there are a lot of causes of suffering, and we're going to look at various categories of sufferings in a few moments. But what I want you to see is here, they are suffering persecution and affliction. Persecution from outside, suffering. Affliction, things that go on inside your own soul, family, and life. So, this is suffering. And we all are familiar with suffering. All of us have suffered some point, some way in our lives. And if you had good parents, you started out suffering with spankings. But nevertheless, we understand there's going to be suffering in life. John 16, Christ said, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have it. You're going to have it in Satan's world of darkness. Now, a few people, like James Webb, escaped suffering throughout his life. But most of us have experienced severe suffering or suffering of some levels. Now, we can look back. What did it do to us? How did we react? How did we respond? Did we learn? Did we grow? Did we react? Did we curse those who cursed us? So we have to understand a lot of things about suffering. Now, in our study on the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we've got the children of Israel, and they've come to the place of bitterness. And so this is a suffering. Now, let me just give you five principles of introduction, and then we're going to take up the doctrine. One, we suffer because of our sins. We do. That is a true statement. Two, we suffer because of bad decisions. Financial, marriage, whatever. Even driving a car, bad decision, get you in a wreck. Three, we suffer by association with those who do not seek the plan of God or the will of God. Yet we associate with them. This is why, parents, it's so crucial. Teach your children to pick their friends, not be picked. Because they're going to suffer if they pick the wrong kind of friends. And the time to make that decision is in September when school starts, not in November when you're in the midst of the trouble. When you're having the trouble because of your association with those people. And it just has to do with what kind of people you hang out with. And that it's that clear and simple. And so we suffer because of those we associate with do not seek the plan of God or the will of God. Four, we suffer because God is trying to get our attention. God's just trying to get our attention. Israel being brought to bitter waters. God getting their attention. Then five, we suffer as a test, an opportunity to glorify Christ, to continue to walk by faith, not give in to the suffering, react to the suffering, but glorify Christ in the midst of the suffering. So these are five just introductory points that I wanted to introduce our study of suffering this morning. Now, it's been a long time since we've looked at these things, so let's just go through and be sure that we're oriented to the Word of God, to what's going on in regard to suffering in our life and in people that we love's lives. People that we love are going to suffer. Our children, our parents, our friends, family. And they'll suffer for all the reasons we just mentioned. Sometimes bad decisions. Sometimes by association. Sometimes just directly from Satan, the world, the flesh. So there are a lot of reasons that we suffer. So first of all, under our understanding doctrine, if you please, of suffering, let's just take up some general causes of suffering to both unbeliever and believer. There's some general causes. One, violation of the law, human justice. Those are what jails and prisons and all that's about. Secondly, violation of health laws, not eating correctly and taking care of yourself. The body needs exercise. The body needs the correct food. The body needs sleep. These kinds of things. You violate these, and in most cases, you're going to end up paying for it. You're going to end up paying for it. Sometimes big time, sometimes just minor things that come along in life. So violation of health laws. Then three, other people. Other people that you allow in your life. Friends, neighbors, associates, whatever. Next, privation. No water, food, clothing. And people, I'm sorry, but in America, there are many people who suffer the privation of food, water, clothing. Now, and I say this with tongue in cheek, in California they're suffering from water, but if they give hundreds of thousands of gallons for little fish, and I find it hard to feel sorry for them. And they're wasting a lot of water to keep some dumb little fish alive and cause people to suffer. So suffer, you fish. And that's just the way that that goes. But outside of that, there are a lot of people in the United States, definitely in the world, who suffer from the lack of food and clothing and water. And so there's a privation. Next is weather. Weather brings a lot of suffering. Storms, tornadoes, flooding, all volcano eruptions, all these kind of things dealing with the weather brings about suffering. It gets below 50 degrees and I suffer. I suffer. That's just all there is to it. Below 60, I can feel it coming. Below 50, I suffer. Now, a lot of people love it. My son, my marriage, it's 35 degrees. He's out there with a short sleeve shirt on and shorts and loving it. And I don't know how they can do that. I think that's abnormal. But they should be suffering. But anyway, so we suffer because of weather. And we suffer for a list of long of bad decisions, loss of values in life. You do not value your home, your marriage, your life, your church. And so suffering starts setting in. Now, let's go to point two. Point two, classification of suffering. Classification. A, eternity. Eternity. B, or under that, the believer, no suffering. No suffering in eternity. Unbeliever, eternal suffering. Eternal suffering. We'll see that in a few minutes. Look at, since you have your Bibles maybe still open to 2 Thessalonians, look at 1:9. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. And we're going to see that's not annihilation, that's eternal suffering. So the unbeliever will suffer forever. They may think they're suffering now. They haven't felt anything yet. People, it's so important to understand that eternity is a reality. Eternal damnation is a reality. And if you love someone and care, you better be sure they got the gospel. Just be sure they've got the gospel. And sometimes we do this with our parents. Sometimes we do this with friends when they're dying. When they're dying. I know the pastor here in Dallas, an older man now, Bob George, and his dad in California was dying, and he had given the gospel many times, but when he was dying, he went and gave him the gospel, and his father believed, isn't that right? His father did believe in the gospel at that point. But people, it's real. Yes. Yeah. That was his key into heaven. That was his getting into heaven. Yeah. So, it's reality, people. And there are a lot of people who deny it. God would not do that. People, he's a righteous God. Don't ever forget his righteousness. And don't ever underestimate his righteousness. It's real. So, the unbeliever will have eternal suffering. Now, let's talk about suffering in time. That's our life on earth. Unbelievers will suffer due to bad decisions, but by and large, to bring them to the realization of their own inadequacy and need of Jesus Christ. That's one of the fundamental reasons why unbelievers will suffer. And then secondly, of course, self-induced. A lot of bad decisions. But as far as God is concerned, unbelievers will suffer to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A classic study are the 10 plagues on, or actually 9, because the 10th one did it, but the 9 plagues on Egypt. And he just kept saying no, even though he suffered. No, 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 no. Fill in the blanks, no. So, suffering is designed for the unbeliever by God to bring them to the realization of their need of Jesus Christ and then self-induced. For believers, well, there are just so many reasons why believers suffer in time. So many reasons. There is the overall understanding of divine discipline. Yes, God will discipline born-again believers when we're out of his plan. There is undeserved suffering. There are a lot of reasons why believers will suffer that it's not their sin and it's not even about them. A lot of times people, especially pastors, according to Scripture, have to suffer so that others can learn. Paul is very big on this, how he had to suffer in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that they would learn some things, that they would experience some things. It wasn't about him. It was about others. So sometimes you may suffer, and it's not about you at all. What did I do, God? What did I do? When did I do it? I didn't mean to do that. saved. It may not be about you at all. It may be about your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, somebody close. So it's just a lot of difficult things to understand and to accept about suffering as a born-again believer. So there is divine discipline, and then there is undeserved suffering. And the whole study of the book of Job is an excellent study of suffering to come to God in the way that God would have you to come to Him. And it involved the angelic conflict. Chapter 1, we have the court scene with the angels. And there's just so much about suffering in the book of Job. But fundamentally, don't lose sight. Job is suffering to bring him to the realization of God. He had a false view of God. That if I'm good, God blesses. If I'm bad, God disciplines. God hurts me. I'm hurting, and I've been real good. I've been real good. I even offer offerings for my children before they even sin. How much better can you get than that? The only thing I know better than that is to give us a whipping because they know we're going to do something bad today. See? But Job would go out and offer offerings before his children even sinned. He just knew God loved him. He knew God was going to bless him. And all of a sudden, horrible things started happening, and that threw his whole mind set about God off. How can you do this to me, God? And so he goes a 41-chapter journey in the book of the Bible to learn. I retract everything I said. You're God. I trust you. And that's all God wanted him to do. So if you'll learn that, you don't have to go through 41 chapters of suffering and have your friends be part of your suffering and all of that. You can just skip all of that. So there is that. And then there is suffering to illustrate divine truth. My wife right now is on a journey just reading through the Minor Prophets, and she was in the book of Hosea. What's the book of Hosea about? It's to illustrate divine truth. This man, Hosea, has to suffer. No fault of his own, no sin of his own. God is teaching Israel through this man's suffering how he, God, loves them. So Hosea has this unbelievably difficult, suffering marriage. But it's to demonstrate a divine viewpoint to Israel, a divine lesson to Israel. And then there is the principle to learn obedience to the plan of God. We suffer to learn obedience to the plan of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Now, let me just quickly say, I'm not going to look at verses with every one of these, but every now and then there are just a few verses that I want to draw to your attention so you can think about them later. And some of these verses are so blatantly powerful. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And let's look at verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. People, that's just a principle. It may apply to the Lord here, but it applies to us. We have to suffer that we will learn to obey. This is why, this is a parent. It spares not the rod. You're going to learn to mind, one way or the other. You're going to learn. And if you don't learn, you're going to be black and blue all your life, all your youth. See? So the best thing is to do is to learn. To learn. So that's a very important point, Hebrews 5:8. And there are other passages, Psalm 119. 67, 69, and 71. We could take time if we wanted to read those. There's just a lot of reasons that deal with learning to obey because God disciplines. God loves you. God loves you. That's why He disciplines you. He doesn't beat you. He doesn't punish you without the proper means. This isn't some parent who loses it and starts beating you. This is a parent who cares and loves, and I'm going to discipline you. As I may not spare the rod, I may spare the rod and take away your phone. I know you'd rather have the rod than the phone than to take away your phone, but that may be all that I can do here. It used to be take away your TV. Now it's take away your phone. See? But whatever it is, a wise parent needs to think, how can I get this kid's attention? What can I do to get them to understand the relationship of what I want them to do and not do in their lives? I'm taking away your bicycle. Why are you taking it away? I love it. Yes, and you ride it in the streets. I don't want you riding your bike in the streets. So I'm taking it away. And every day when you're not riding on it, you want to be, you think about, when I get it, I'm not going to ride in the street. Now, a rebellious kid, when I get it, I'm going to ride in the street. And he loses it again. That's going to be a hard head. But what I'm saying is, a wise parent thinks through the type of suffering that is best. And people, we all have it. God knows every one of us. And what would be suffering to you will not be suffering to someone else. What is suffering to them is not suffering to you. To some people, being told they can't go to school, that's just devastating. To others, that's great. I just stay home and watch TV all day and hang out on the couch. So you just got to know what's going to work. What's going to work with your kid, with your, because God does. God knows us. And he knows just where to pull the chain. And boy, some people are really devastated about things, and you go, what's the big deal? I don't understand what the big deal is about that. That's nothing. Well, wait till he pulls your chain, and they look at you and say, well, that's no big deal. So we all have different areas in which we will respond to what is suffering in our lives. And God knows perfectly. And by the way, so does the adversary. Satan also knows us. And he knows which buttons to push. And it's all around suffering. So you've got to learn and understand about suffering in life. Next, to orient to the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. We won't take time to read it, but that whole passage does. And another one that I love that we see in 2 Thessalonians, to develop your continual walk of faith. To develop, not your increase your faith. We saw already faith isn't increased. But it is to develop your faith in all areas of your life. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You're still in Hebrews. Just keep going toward the back. You'll come to 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's note together verses 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Do you see that, if necessary? If necessary? If it's necessary in your life. I think one of the most aggravating things is siblings. And one sibling is just Mr. Do Everything Right. Mr. Lord Fartnoy. Mr. Goody Two Shoes. And she just does everything right. The other sister's always in trouble. The brother's always in trouble. Well, how come you never get on her? She doesn't do what you do. See? And that's very aggravating when other people aren't suffering. But we don't take the time to say, you know what? They don't make the stupid decisions I make either. So that's why they're not suffering. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, in time, by your life, for a little while, if necessary, it's not always necessary, but if it's necessary, you will have distress by various trials. That in order that the proof of your faith being more precious, the proof means a demonstration. The demonstration of your faith more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Second Advent. We'll be studying that also in a few minutes. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Second Advent. And all these things are going to be revealed. So it's a wonderful place to have faith develop. Look at Romans chapter 5. Some of these, I just want to give you some verses so that you can go back and think about them. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Wow! How about that? He exalts in it. Give me more, God! Give me more! No, that's not what he's doing. But we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, he could add, or hostility, or running away. But if you're in the plan of God, and that's what he's dealing with in this passage, perseverance. Okay, I'm in suffering, I'm in adversity. Maybe like David, it's because of my sin. Maybe like David, it's not because of my sin. But I'm going to persevere in just trusting you. I'm going to persevere in growing in the Word of God. I'm going to persevere in my relationship with you. And then the one I like, to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We suffer to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if you're writing, we're going to read 8 through 11. So there you go, gentlemen in the back row. I gave you the whole deal. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They get upset when I just say chapter 4 and then I wait a minute or two and then give the verse. Well, I can't worry about you electric people. I'm dealing with us who have notepads, Bibles. All right. On paper. I know you got Bibles, electric Bibles, but these are on paper. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. People, there's nothing wrong. You're going to be afflicted, you're going to be perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We're going to see in the next hour, I'm going to tell you now, we'll see it. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 things, but it's singular. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, the fruit. Why is it singular? Because the combination of those 9 things presents the character of Christ in you. All 9 of those, when they are corporately manifested in you, through you and in your life, you're demonstrating the character of Jesus Christ. For when you read those things, that is the character of Christ. All of them. You don't take away one. You have all of them, and they present the character of Christ. So when you are suffering, and you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and you demonstrate love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, the self-control, these kind of things, what you're doing is glorifying Christ in the midst of adverse suffering in your life. Okay? So, right along with that, we suffer, therefore, to witness for Christ. To witness for Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read together verses 8 and 9. I love to see people look through the Bible. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. And people, this is one of the things that Satan does all the way through the church age. He uses prison, jail, which is what? Taking away your freedom. Isolating what you can do. Trying to shut you up. Trying to keep you from being a witness for Christ. But even in jail, Paul is a witness of Christ. So even that, he doesn't win. But that's what he's taken you to jail and prison to do. Silence you from the world. But an effective witness of Christ does witnesses for Christ in those circumstances. One of the most wonderful things in the movie, the prophet, was at the very end. Now, he had killed a man that was having an adulterous affair with his wife with a baseball bat, and then went on to other ministries. But then, David Duvall's movie, and then he went to a prison. And the last scene, what's he doing? He's got him singing gospels out on the chain gang. I mean, he just didn't stop him. Whatever he was doing, he was glorifying the Lord. He was glorifying Christ. And he did not allow his sins to stop him from glorifying Christ, even in prison. So these type of things are so important to understand in our lives. Let's look at Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's benefit. Well, I'll wait. Good. Turn back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, Christ's benefit, Christ's glory, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his benefit, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So, it has been granted. It's a privilege. And we must have that attitude. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ. If I'm suffering, and I know it's because of my position in Christ, not because of sin, but because of my position in Christ, that's fine. I'll do it again. That's all there is to it. So it has been granted. It's a blessing to suffer for Christ's benefit. And so this is these are just some of the areas that involve in that. Now, Roman numeral 3, Christ's suffering. Now, we could spend hours on this. Christ's suffering, he did not earn or deserve. He's suffering for the benefit of mankind. He suffers for our example. We learn by learning or by observing his suffering, and therefore we suffer with him in his suffering. And there are just so many passages, 2 Corinthians 5:21, 1 Peter 2:24, 2 Corinthians 5:21, just so many, or I mentioned that, so many different passages in that regard. Now, Roman numeral 4. Something that I hope you don't experience. Total suffering. Sometimes we think, boy, this is it. I'm in the worst condition I could be in. Let's see what total suffering is. Our example for this list is none other than the poor man Lazarus. Not the Lazarus that Christ raised from the grave, but the man outside the rich man's home. Lazarus. First of all, lack of all the basic necessities of life. Food, shelter, things like that. Secondly, loss of health. He was lying outside the gate. Normal desires unfulfilled. Loss of social relationships. He had no one. No wonder would even give him any food. Loss of status in society. He was a poor man. He was an embarrassment to the rich man. And the biggest one of all people, no explanation for all of these losses. Why am I suffering these things? No explanation. Sometimes that's the biggest loss. No explanation for the cause or the reason for all of this suffering. And often in our lives, you may not have an explanation. I know people try to look for it. You know what? It's when I did this horrible sin. You know what? It's when this happened. If you don't know right up front, forget it. Just move on in the plan of God in your suffering. Don't sit there and try to find out why you're suffering. See? Well, I'm suffering for your benefit. That's why I'm suffering, you bum. Don't do that. Just bear it all and walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, total suffering. So, if anytime you think you're in total suffering, get out and read the passage in Luke 16 about Lazarus and the rich man, and you'll say, well, I'm not all that bad. I'm not that suffering that bad. Okay. Roman number 5. Cardinal principle to suffering. Cardinal principle of suffering. First, all suffering is designed for blessing in life. Whatever the source, God allows it that He can bring blessing into your life. Please remember that. I know you don't understand it while you're suffering. I know you don't understand that while you're suffering. But all suffering is designed for blessing in life. Now we have read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Again, that's applicable to this point. All suffering is designed for blessing. 2 Timothy 2:12. All suffering is designed for blessing. 1 Peter 4:14. You notice how a lot of these come from Peter? That poor guy knew about suffering. Sometimes it's self-induced, but he experienced a lot of suffering in his life. So he has a lot to say. And by the way, that's exactly the blessing that God told Peter. Look at John 21. I just want to show you this whole thing with suffering. John 21. Let's see. You know what? It may not be 121. Well, I don't know where. But anyway, there's a passage that says that to Peter, that when you recover, that's what it is in his denials, you will be able to encourage others. So he is suffering that he can be an encouragement to others. So, cardinal principle of suffering. First of all suffering is designed for blessing. Secondly, the exception, divine discipline. But when you recover by faith recovery, it turns into a blessing. So the exception leads to a blessing if you respond. If you respond. Roman numeral 6. Divine viewpoint about suffering. Divine viewpoint about suffering. And we've already studied that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're in 2 Thessalonians now, but look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People, that's tough. And we studied that when we studied that passage. How do you thank God for the suffering? How do you thank God for the torment you're going through? How do you thank God for the persecution, the affliction that's going on? You have to be oriented to God and to God's plan for you and for others. So this becomes a very important principle, that we give thanks for all these things. Also, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Cardinal principle, suffering, verse 28. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you're going through, you're not separated. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, suffering of anything, or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. People, whenever you're going through this adverse suffering, you're not separated from the love of Christ. It may not look like it to you. But you're not separated from the love of Jesus Christ. Not at all at that point. Now let's look at Romans 8:28. This is another difficult one to bear in mind. For we know, you got to know it from Scripture, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. People, you got a note there, to love God. That means to walk continually by faith in the Holy Spirit, because this is a love given by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most remarkable things, is to watch how God, you know, I don't know how He's going to turn this into good. I've lost my home, I've lost my car, I've lost my job, I've lost everything. How's He going to turn this into good? Watch Him. Trust Him. Continue to walk with Him. And watch what He can do in your life as far as His plan is concerned. Okay, Roman numeral 7. Orientation to suffering. Just thinking about it. Well, how are you going to deal with it? Okay, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Mental attitude is to have known the same, had that same attitude that was in Christ, that was in you, Philippians chapter 1. Secondly, joy, Hebrews 12:2. Third, a stable mindset, 2 Timothy 1:7 with Galatians 5:22. So there's a mindset you want to have as you're going through the suffering in life. And also, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, maintaining your thought process on God. Isaiah 28:3 and 4. Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. How can I keep my mind stayed on Him in the midst of suffering? That's when you need to most of all. And if all that you can do is just sit down and read the text, then do it. You will be amazed at what happens after the first 15 minutes of just sitting down and reading the text and thinking about it. Maybe writing some things down. Fellowshipping with the Word of God. And pretty soon, a peace starts coming over you in the midst of all that's going on in your life. Then next, production in suffering. Production in suffering. I know what you're thinking about. I'm going to show you that's not what I'm thinking about. Let's look again at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Let's read verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, since Christ has suffered, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of the flesh or the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's what's got to be your mindset in the midst. So what is happening? It's caused you to be more mindset on Christ. You're going along, everything's going fine. You're just taking care of life. New car, new this, new that, new clothes, new furniture, on and on and on. And then boom, the disaster hits. Now all of a sudden your mindset is continually on Him. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And learn so that when you get through it, you know what? I never want to get into that again. Where I just get so complacent in life that I don't mentally think, moment by moment, my relationship with Christ. The production of love. Romans 5:5 compared with Galatians 5:22 and 23. Got to close, but I want to close with this one. Attitudes toward suffering. What should be our attitude toward suffering? And the first one I want to give you is, don't be shocked. Don't be like Job. How could this happen to me? I'm so good. I'll never forget, years ago, we had a little boy in our children's class, and he sat down in a chair. I wasn't there, of course, it was in the classroom, and the chair broke. And the other kids were laughing at him, and he said a classic statement. How could anything like this happen to somebody who loves Jesus? And that, don't be shocked. So let's look for this at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Here it is for you. Beloved believers, do not be surprised, shocked, at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be like Job. How could God do this? What's going on? Don't be shocked. It's part of life. So the first attitude about suffering is, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked at people. Don't be shocked at the world. Don't be shocked at Satan. Don't be shocked at your own flesh. Don't be shocked at God. All these are sources of suffering. Don't be shocked. Secondly, rejoice. Rejoice. We saw this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but we also see it in Philippians 4:4, James 1:2, John 16:33. Rejoice. Thank you. This is how I ended last Sunday morning. You remember that? Go into the game, you're going to get hurt. There's a possibility you could break your back, break your neck, break your arm, break your hand. I want in, coach. I don't want to sit on the bench. Put me in. But you can really get hurt. Your mother's like, but you can get hurt. See? I don't care. Put me in, coach. I don't want to sit on the bench. And if I get hurt, I get hurt. That's just the way it goes. But I don't want to sit on the bench. So we thank you. Thank you, coach. Thank you for letting me in on this game. And then three, consider it a blessing. Considering it a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you are reviled for the same, for the name of Christ, you're blessed. You're blessed because the Spirit of glory of God and of God rests upon you. So if you're in there for suffering, for some position you've made in Christ, people rejoice. It's a blessing. Whatever happens, you lose a friend, you end up in jail, you end up losing something, it's a blessing. Count it a blessing before God. Also, John 16:14, John 7:39. So, these are the different aspects of suffering. I just wanted to go over these. It's been a long time since we've looked at some aspects of felt suffering. Obviously, we've not covered everything. This is a big, there are books written on suffering. But I hope that we've covered you, given you some groundwork. Any questions that I didn't cover on suffering? Okay. Well, thank you for not, what do I do when my husband or my wife is causing me to suffer? What do I do when my children are causing me to suffer? Can I get rid of them? And those things like that. Now, your dog, well, you know, you can't get rid of him. Nothing, no binding, no moral binding there. But others, you have to learn to handle the suffering as a joy and giving thanks for it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, as we journey through life, we learn there's going to be a lot of suffering. But your word makes it very clear that it can be a blessing, that is designed to bless us. And then we also know, Father, it's for a short time. The moment we leave this earth, there'll be no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain. So suffering in time for Jesus Christ's sake is a blessing. And we thank you for it. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our soul, give us stability in our soul, passages to go over and look at, and a guidance in regard to suffering. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.